at 6 p.m. and another edition of the Don and Wynn Show. And those of you that were listening last week know that Don was out of town and he's visiting his mother, who is one of our most favorite listeners. So I don't know if Don is listening, but he has not returned yet. So he said, Wynn, you do the show. So we're going to have an interesting show tonight, and the topic is going to be interdimensional communication, which those of you who have paid attention to me over a period of time know that that's something that I've had the experience of. Not necessarily something I wanted to have the experience of, but it was kind of thrust upon me. And just to share a bit about it in terms of background, put yourself in the position of suddenly being with someone who you're close to, and in the middle of whatever else you're doing, a voice comes through that person, and they're aware of it. They're aware that there's someone else talking to them, and they're relaying the information, and the voice is telling them that, that they want that person to talk to me. And so, of course, I'm telling you to put yourself in that position and say, how would you react to that? And the first, I guess the first natural reaction would be, is this person crazy? How do I know this is real? Who is talking to me? What do they want? And when it first happened for me, of course, I was thinking maybe this person was crazy, and I asked this voice, I said, can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they said they could, and then they did. They said, watch for this headline on Memorial Day weekend, and that headline appeared. And so for the next 6 months, I'm living my life. In fact, I'm struggling with my life. It was not easy at that point. But in the middle of it all, I'm with someone that says, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm being privy to ask all these questions about how things work, who they are, what do they want, do I trust them? And, you know, it took me probably quite some time to come to my own conclusions. So when someone hears about this kind of experience, it's not something to look at and say, well, now we can know what's going on because we have this very high intelligence talking to you. You have to decide yourself, is my experience useful to you, or does it help you, or does it something add it, or can you use the information in some way? And those of you that have tracked my story know that the person who was first doing this with me was having a very difficult time, very difficult, and she wasn't sure if she was going insane. And eventually, she left the situation, and then a few weeks later, someone else I knew picked up where she left off and started saying this, they want to talk to you, and this person had never channeled before. And suddenly I'm continuing this relationship with this voice that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim. And those of you that are familiar with the Elohim, the word Elohim, know that it's one of the words for God in the Old Testament. And the way they describe themselves is not in terms of God as the way, say, religion would think of God. And perhaps they're an in-between agent between all that is and us. But they have been very responsible throughout our history for some of the interventions that people thought were God, and some of the things which ended up being the beginnings of religion, beginnings of spiritual movements. And I came to understand in all my conversations with them that we, as humans, are in what might be looked at as in a state of evolution, and that we go from one lifetime to the next, to the next, to the next. And every time we have a physical embodiment, we forget everything. There's amnesia, and it's like starting over, except the part of yourself which you could call your soul, the part of you which exists in other dimensions, continues. And if you've made advances in one life, then when you come into your next life, you'll carry those advances. And if you haven't made it, if you've made retreats in a life, which is equally possible, you'll carry that. And that each life is an exercise in coming into some kind of balance so that your soul energy is no longer bound to having to physical re-embody. And spiritual people call that getting off the wheel of reincarnation. But there's always been a mystery, so when you get off the wheel of reincarnation, where do you go? How does it feel? What does that mean? And of course, when you hear this for the first time, I don't suggest that you believe that it's true. There's many ways of looking at the relationship between other dimensions and this one. And many of them border on perhaps what could be looked at as mythology. Because when there's been interventions throughout the history of mankind, they have to speak and communicate according to the consciousness of the collective energy of who they're speaking to. And so it just so happens, right at this moment in our history, we are very sophisticated. And ways for many people, not for some people, still hold to the old ways of presenting this, and they were brought up that way, and they're brought up within a religion, and if that works for you, and it's deepening your connection with the other side or the God, then I would suggest just keep doing it, because whatever works, it's hard to get anything to work in this level. But for me, I happen to be very inquisitive. I happen to be, I don't believe things easily. I need kind of a validation. And over the course of this, these conversations with this voice that identified itself as the Elohim, I believe that validation has come to me, and I can talk for a long, long time about all the ways that occurred. Maybe I'll give you a couple. For example, this all started while I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So it's pretty wild. I'm writing a book about the return of what would probably be the most credible psychic prophet in the history of the world, and certainly the most documented. And I'm 2 years into writing the book, and the book was creating a very far-out cosmology of how things work on the other side. And the book was bringing forth information that I had never heard before. And as I was writing it, I said, I don't know if this is true, this information, but I'll just have to put it in here and let people make up their own minds. And then when I was involved in this communication of channeling, then I asked all the questions that were in, and I was getting exactly the same answers. And then I started doing things on the web. Like, I looked at the word Elohim, and I found there were other people that were channeling the Elohim. And in almost every case, there was the same cosmology being presented. And then there was, I mean, they demonstrated their power. There was a circumstance where my sister, who had lupus, had the lupus disappear from her test. And they took credit for it. I asked them to help her, and they did it. And then that happened.
Hello.
Okay. For those of you who just heard us go off the air, probably burning the circuits because I'm on my cell phone and dropped out. So, just continuing, I hope we didn't lose any of you. Seth, you better keep listening in case we drop out again and talk to the people in between. Thank you. So, in any case, I'm in the midst of this experience of talking to this group or this energy. They say they're the Elohim, and they describe themselves as a group soul of millions of individual souls that are conglomerate outside of this physical universe. And that they were part of the original creation of this universe, but they're not in time. So they exist outside of time, and they can kind of beam into this realm like a laser beam in through the dimensions. And that when we experience light energy in our space, it's oftentimes, I would guess, the Elohim is one of the sources of that. So in any case, I started to experience that while I was having these channelings. I experienced that energy in the room, and then I said, well, geez, if they can beam in, and they said, you know, they can't violate free will, so people have to ask. So we started doing a conference call, and those of you that haven't checked it out, on Mondays at 6:30, there's the WinFree conference line where... we do these every night of the week, but on Monday we do it on BBS, and there's an energy on the line, and many people that are on the line are experiencing that energy and have reported phenomenal things, little miracles, healings, growth, all kinds of stuff. So it's on Monday at 6:30, and also... I have a website up called theinsidescoop.org, and you're welcome to check that out. It's got a half-hour audio compilation of me and some of the principles involved. Well, at one point in the Don and the Wind show, we had the person who was originally channeling, and it was the first time I had put her on the show, and... we were very shy and kind of nervous about how people are going to react to this. And so she was identified as Girlfriend X, and you can listen to the archive of that show. I think it's December 5th or 10th of 2005. And in the middle of the show, there was an interruption, and she said they wanted to say something. And the voice that came through her identified itself as a council of 12. Now, I've asked and learned, and I think I might have it right, a huge amount of stuff about how the other side with our dimension. And so, at the top of the ladder, there's the Elohim. Now we're back again. You guys better be prepared because it seems like we're having difficult interference on this call. So part of the way they describe the human condition is that this particular realm got cut off from the higher realms, and it's been just recycling and recycling and recycling for hundreds of thousands of years. And we keep going into lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and we don't resolve the issues that would reconnect us to the higher realms. So part of their function, or part of their purpose in connecting with us, is helping to reconnect the energies from their realm into our realm, so that we can graduate from this realm, if that makes any sense. And, of course, graduation can be called getting off the wheel of reincarnation. It can be called ascension. And, you know, it means that when you die, you've resolved your issues with this realm. You don't have any incompleted stuff here, and you don't have to come back. Now, you could, if you wanted to be a teacher for other people. And, of course, in that circumstance, you're taking a risk because once you're here, you don't remember anything, and it's very easy to get into the flows that keep you bound here, and you lose your freedom again. So this is, as I've come to understand it, the human dilemma, which most humans have no knowledge of taking place. Because while we're here, all we know is we're in a physical body and we see what we see, and there's no evidence of this. And then you go into religion, of course, and within religion, that religion is an attempt to try to simplify this so that the common man can understand it. So the reason I'm telling all this story right now is because Daphne is on the line, and this is a rare and rare chance where she can share some of her experiences. And Daphne is the person who was initially first started channeling this voice that said they were the Elohim. And Daphne, you're there, I hope?
I am.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to share, adding on to the things I'm saying?
Let's see, it's a pretty broad question. Do you want to specify?
Well, you know, I'm describing how I've learned to understand this human circumstance. And, you know, it's an understanding that I didn't have before I met you. And that the channelings coming through you started to clue me in to that perspective. And did what I say make sense to you? I mean,
perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been an ongoing, learning process for myself as well. I think one of the things that I am becoming aware of is that not only do these messages come through, you know, various people, such as myself, you know, we act as conduits or vessels or mouthpieces for this galactic intelligence, but that it tends to have certain effects on both the people who are the individual transmitters of the information and the people who are listening to the transmissions. One of the huge challenges that I've had since this has been part of my life, which is basically since 2002, is that energetically it is very, very difficult to function in a normal way. And what I mean by that is that the kind of normal energy that it takes to go about your mundane daily tasks of taking care of your home and working and paying bills and, you know, having a livelihood for yourself, taking care of children if that's part of your life, becomes very, very difficult for many people that I've been in contact with. And there are also physiological symptoms that can be very difficult to deal with. And I've been grappling with this for a long time, and one of the things I'm becoming aware of is I think there is a kind of grounding process that is attempting to be carried out by those higher emissaries of the Elohim and the Ra group. And these intelligences are, in effect, trying to use people such as myself for, we're frequency transmitters and we're a bridge of some sort. But in order for the circuit to be completed and in order for the information to really take root, it literally has to be grounded into the what we call the grid lines of the planet, of Mother Earth, of Gaia. And I think that the physical location of people while they're doing this work has a great deal of influence on how well they can assimilate these frequencies and how it affects their circuitry within their body. And it's interesting that we're having problems tonight with interruptions. I'm currently in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and Stone Mountain, Georgia, just happens to be the home of the largest naturally formed, it's a huge stone, it's a huge rock. It's the largest of its kind. It's a special geological formation. I think it's only about 800 feet high, but it's the largest in the Americas, in North and South America. There is one larger in Germany, in the Rhineland, I believe, and the third largest one, I think, is Ayers Rock in Australia. And my sense is that the higher-ups, the celestial councils, are using people like myself to literally anchor this light frequency, this Christed light frequency, into the grids. And they use plate tectonics. They use man-made structures. They use natural mountain formations, valley formations. And why don't you talk a little bit about the grid healings that you've been doing?
Okay.
Have I appropriately answered your question?
Yeah, you did. You know, when people are first exposed to this kind of information, your first input is to your mind, and your mind is trying to assimilate it and say, is that true? Could that be real? I had to do that. And there's a higher level of assimilation that goes far beyond your mind, and that has to do with having your energies tune in to the higher energies that are flowing into the planet. Most humans are blocked off from that flow. They're blocked off, and they've been blocked off for many, 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 many lifetimes. And it's being blocked off such a habit that normal reality does not include connecting with these flows. It includes being happy, getting married, having children, being successful in the world, and having all these things that, there's nothing wrong with all those things, by the way, and you can still be connected with these flows and still have all those things. It doesn't separate yourself from, you know, having a happy, comfortable life in this dimension. But most people end up contracted, where they're in their own small energy field or the energy field of their family, and they are not picking up what you could call these more expanded energies. Now, connecting with these expanded energies are part of what's required to graduate from this realm. Because if your energies are totally attached to everything in this realm, then when you die, you're going to come back to what you're attached to, which is this realm. So the graduation part of it has to do with expanding beyond this realm. And the first thing someone needs is some kind of experience of how it feels to be expanded beyond this realm. Now, most people have had that experience, but they didn't necessarily define it as such. If you've ever stood at a mountain top and looked down on a city and had your breath taken away, I would say your energy was probably very expansive at that moment, expanding much larger than it normally would expand to reach into the whole vicinity of the view from the top of the mountain. And also, if you've gone into a spiritual group and you felt the vibe in a room and you felt a peace in the room, and maybe you, if you're more sensitive, you saw a light energy in the room, at that moment, you were in an expanded hologram outside, and your energy was tapping into realms beyond the normal physical realm. And so most people have that experience, but they don't end up owning it as a personal experience. So they go to church every Sunday. Hopefully they're having that experience at church. And then they feel that experience is in the church. Or they go on vacation, and they go on mountaintops, and they go into nature. And then they have an experience that's outside of the realm. And the only way to have the experience inside the realm is to start seeing and experiencing the things around you as being, how can I say this? Instead of responding to the reality systems of everyone around you, to develop your own internal connection to this greater reality system and hold that energy no matter where you are or who you are around. And that's not an easy thing to do. But that's what is required. So part of what I've been doing in terms of learning how all this works and learning how this interaction works between the higher realms and our realm is, aside from having being a person that can ground other people, that causes them to do this channeling or catalyzes them to do it, part of that is creating that connection. That's what allows this channeling to occur, to creating an expanded hologram. And that's what connects you to these higher energies. And as I started to experience these energies around the channeling, I started doing a conference call, and we did a conference call every Monday, started maybe a year and a half ago, and I asked the Elohim, I said, you know, if we do a conference call, will you work with the people on the conference call? Can we do that over the phone? And they said they could. So then the people on the conference calls started having experiences. They started noting shifts in their energy. They would ask for help in some area, and something would magically change in their life. And, you know, I used to be a physics major, so I ask all the questions of a skeptic. I said, could this be happening because of suggestion? Why is this happening? Do I really have this happening? And, you know, I analyzed it and watched it for a long time. And from my experience, I'm certain that that's happening. I'm certain that this energy of this group soul is working on our conference line and is assisting people. And we are also assisting and what I would say co-creating with them this anchoring of the energy from other realms into this realm. And in doing so, we become part of a great healing process, because when someone actually can anchor this energy and hold it, they can change the vibrations of everything around them. They can change the people. And I won't say they change it by willpower. They change it by holding an energy that everyone is looking for. Everyone is looking for that energy, and when they feel it, they gravitate. And, you know, whether they know consciously what's going on, their energy is being uplifted. And so the conference calls has been a way of consciously invoking that and creating this relationship with other people for these higher realms. And then we got the idea of, like, if we can get them to beam down into a certain location, if they can work with us in that way, then we experimented having, in fact, it started out with Daphne and I, and kind of we just did it spontaneously and said, let's try this. We were in New York City, and we asked a question in a channeling. I said, would it be helpful for us to go to some locations in New York City and call in the light? And of course, we call in the light at the end of the show, so if you're hanging in there, we're going to do that at the end of the show, as we always do. And so we went to the World Trade Center, and we went to the United Nations, and we crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. Those were the three locations that they suggested. But we didn't just do it with the two of us. We actually had our conference line going, and we had maybe 15 people on the conference line, and we had a group energy on the conference line. The people that check into the conference line regularly start to feel the energy of it. And so now, for those people that have been regulars, it's almost automatic. They check in and they feel the energy, and then they feel it every day, and after a while, it starts to incorporate itself into their regular life, where they're actually living their life in an expanded hologram. And it's now they own it. It's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on the Elohim. It's just, it's not dependent on the conference call. They've internalized the experience. But for people that don't have that experience, we've been offering just a regular thing that you can do every day that can help set the reference point for that experience. So we did this grid healing in New York City, where we anchored these columns of light in those areas. And then there was a huge amount of energy, more than usual, on the conference line when we did it. And so we had more conversations and said, well, would this be a good thing to do in other areas? And they said, yes, it would. So we were driving across the country, and we did it in Philadelphia, and we did it in St. Louis. And each time we did it, we had people on the conference line joining with us. And since that time, different people on the line have just taken it upon themselves and said, well, we would like to do San Diego, or we'd like to do Los Angeles, or we'd like to do Mount Shasta. So once or twice a month, we're doing these things on the conference line, and people are calling in and going out to areas, and we're anchoring energy through those people to those areas, which is creating light columns in those areas that persist even after we're not there. And it would be like if there's a room where people meet to have a spiritual meeting every week or every night or whatever, that room will end up having a vibe that will persist far longer than that meeting. And that people who are sensitive could walk into that room and feel the vibe. So it's an exercise in uplifting the energy of the planet and anchoring and creating wormholes from really high places into the physical realm. And, of course, we're just a small little group, but because we're doing it with this huge group soul, the Elohim, and I should, we haven't talked about the Ra group. There's another group soul called the Ra group, which is equally important to this process, and they're both participating with us. And because we're doing it with these two group souls, it has a lot of impact. And they do not violate free will. So they, and not only that, they need humans to anchor the energy, as far as I can tell. In other words, they need a representative on the planet that can tap into their energy and bring it down into this realm. And the more people doing it, of course, the better it is for the entire realm. And in some of the channelings, they say doing this can stop an earthquake, can turn a hurricane in another direction. And we're kind of like co-creating with them on this exercise. And those of you that would like to read more about it, I have a website up called higher-vision.org. It's actually dedicated to a large extent to the conference call, but it has a lot of links to some of the channelings we've done. You can listen to them. There's audio links to the channeling, some of the channelings of Daphne and Terry, both, that are up there. And, you know, if you find this fascinating, I would recommend that you do yourself a favor and see if there's anything to it and listen to these things. There's also a booklet up there called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, where I ask many of the questions that everyone would have, you know, discussing with them how they actually operate, how they work in this realm, how they interacted with us in history, how does prayer work, and I got answers that were just phenomenal, that made more sense to me than anything else I've ever read about the interaction between that realm and this realm. So that is available by request. You can email me at winfree@yahoo.com, winfree@yahoo.com, and I'll send it to you, and I'll send you a schedule of our conference calls. And if you want to check it out and be more anonymous, you can listen to the 6:30 call on bbsradio.com. And just keeping in mind, you may start out just listening, but this is, as I say over and over again, it's a co-creative venture, and that at a certain point, if this is meant for you, something in you will click, and you'll feel that click, and you will know you're not just listening, but you're part of this anchoring process of bringing in energies from other realms into this realm. Some of you, while we're just doing this show, can feel a shift of your energy. And if you do, you might consider the possibility that they are paying attention to you and beaming into your space, because they want to do that. They're not shy. They want to connect with people, and they want to connect with people with high intent. This is not something to be played with or used for your own self-aggrandizement. One of the problems with this realm is that oftentimes people, when they hear about stuff like this, they want the experience because they're still craving attention. This is something that they perceive would get them attention, get them recognition. And if you have that kind of attitude, or that need in yourself, and you start trying to look for channelings, you probably won't get the Elohim. You'll probably get a negative source. And a negative source can be very deceptive and can fool you and make you think there's something they're not. So one of the reasons this realm has been so screwed up is that so many of the negative forces that are in other dimensions have come in on the tail end of positive forces. And so what was initially started as a very positive thing ends up being controlled by something lower. And so this is something that anyone that starts to look into this should be very aware of this possibility. And the thing that would most protect you is having a high intent to be of service. Because within that high intent, there's protection. And the thing that would least protect you is wanting to be recognized, wanting to be famous, wanting people to say how great you are because you do this kind of stuff. And if that's inside your consciousness, be prepared for a negative source. And many of the religions and many of the secret societies that originally started with high sources end up being controlled by negative sources. And is that about right, Daphne? Did I follow through in what you were saying?
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, we can take an opportunity now. If anyone wants to call and ask a question about this, I don't even know the phone number, but it's on the BBS site. Anybody that's on our conference call that wants to call in and share what they've experienced on the conference call, you can do that also. And Seth, are you listening? Are you listening, Seth? Seth is not listening. I don't know the phone number to call in, but if you look on the page, if you're on BBS radio and listening, the number is on the page, and just call that number. There's a lot of 800 numbers, and we'd be glad to answer any questions. Da-da-da-da-da. We have now 6:47. We have 7 minutes left, and nobody's calling, so that's good. Maybe nobody's listening to us. That's okay. Don, if you're listening, Hildy, if you're listening up in Washington, we say hello to you. And, you know, we will be calling in the light in just a few minutes. And when we do that, that's our specific invocation to put the levels together to connect you, the listeners, with these higher realms. And, of course, you don't need to have calling in the light to have an experience. It's something that is happening potentially all the time. And usually when we do a show and we talk about them, they come in and they're paying attention anyway. But by putting out in words, it just makes a strong expression of the intent to make the connection. So, I don't want to start a new topic. I could say a little bit. Maybe I'll talk about the dimensional shift. You know, one of the most important points that they've been making is that we are at the end of the 75,000-year cycle, and that they have been, if I have this correct, these groups have been communicating with many of those indigenous cultures, like the Hopis, like the Mayans, and there's many, many prophecies about this period that run a common thread through many different sources. And this is one of the things that I was researching as I first came across this and started to see the pattern of the interaction between the other realms and this realm. And the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, and that is supposedly the specific date of the end of this cycle. Now, does that mean something is going to happen on that date? Not necessarily. Part of what the potentials are during this period are very much connected with how many people on the planet can actually anchor this energy. And the more people that anchor the energy, the more easy the transitions will be, according to what they say. And the less people, the more calamities can happen. In some of our channelings, they have said that they and the Ra group both have been able to do interventions in this realm to stop bombs from going off, to stop earthquakes. And they can do this depending on the amount of people that are connecting. Now, to connect does not mean you have to know about the Elohim and Ra. They respond to the expanded energy. And the expanded energy can come just because you are spiritual, or because you attend a spiritual group, or because you have a high intent to change things or contribute something. And they can feel that, because when you have that intent, it expands your energy so that your energy is no longer contained within your own small hologram, but it expands it into the connection with others in through the process that is commonly called empathy and compassion. Now, empathy and compassion are two qualities that you cannot do by willpower. These are qualities that come because your energy is expanded to the point where you can perceive other people as part of yourself, as part of your own energy field. And you cannot help but be compassionate when that's the case, because they are you, and they may be in a separate body, but they're part of you. And so as people are expanded and demonstrating these qualities, they're automatically expanding their energies simultaneously. And that is the game, the trick down here, to be able to hold that expanded energy, even in the midst of negativity, even in the midst of small-minded people that are thinking things in conventional ways. And it's not a matter of converting anyone. It's a matter of standing in your own energy and expanding it outwards so that other people can feel it, because that automatically starts growth curves in everyone around you, regardless of where they're at, whatever level they're at. And they don't have to know all the sophisticated understanding of everything. So we have 3 minutes, and I'm going to call in the light. And Daphne, do you want to say anything before I do that?
Well, I just wanted to remark a little bit about what you were talking about. I guess in more traditional spiritual or religious terms, the information that's been coming to us basically says that in order to transition through this next time period, this great shifting of the ages, that your heart has to be open. And, of course, no one is perfect. And, we all have our shadow side, our dark sides, our parts of ourselves that we don't want others to see. But we don't have to be perfect to be able to achieve this transition. They were saying that the heart has to be more open than it is closed.
They use the percentage, 51%.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And actually, that's one of the things that's been happening on the conference line, is all these people have come in that have been strangers, that didn't know each other, and just because of the environment and the energy on the line, they have been able to open up to each other, and they're becoming friends, and they're becoming spiritual comrades. And I'm not doing that. They're doing that of their own volition. And that's one of the things. Sometimes it's hard to open your heart when everyone around you has a closed heart. And somebody's going to start the ball rolling, and you need a source to create that initial opening. So the conference line has been a really good place where people can establish and hold that reference point. And then, of course, you know yourself, when you and I do that, your mother responds, the people around you respond. You've watched that over and over again, that it takes, you can't open your heart by yourself. You need others that can respond to an open heart.
Yes, you need to have connection with others.
Yes, because if you're just by yourself and saying heart open, it probably won't. So in any case, let it go in the light. I'm going over 6:54, and Daphne, I thank you for being with us tonight. And
you're
welcome. It's a pleasure having you on, and maybe if Don will be good, we can have you on again when Don's here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy flowing from the Hunab Ku, the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And we ask right now, those of you who are on this line, who we all exist outside of this dimension, and that we voluntarily, if you so choose, can we combine with each other. And in that combination, we create a group energy, and we invite those energies of Elohim and Ra and all those positive service to other sources on the other side that would like to join us, and that each of you right now be aware of that energy that you are anchoring through your body and into the earth. And each of you, or some of you, are feeling it, and thank you for participating. And if you do feel it, I hope you'll check out more of my work. I hope you'll come to the Monday night conference call. I hope you'll read the book and study this and see if it makes sense to you. See you next week. We'll have Don back next week. And Don's listening. We send blessings to Don and Hilsey. And you want to say anything more, Daphne? Say goodbye.
Thank you for having me on. And it's been an honor to be able to share this with everyone. And God bless everyone. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I love you.